Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 3 of the Dudes on Hockey podcast, a podcast about the San Jose Sharks, about NHL hockey. We're going to be talking about a lot of big things that happened to the Sharks this week. But first of all, we have to talk about the two most important people on earth, and that is, of course, myself and Doug. We went and saw The Love Guru, so breaking news. And also breaking news, it's freaking horrible.
First of all, Mike, Mariska Hargitay to you.
And to you.
This movie is horrible. I completely agree with you there. It's worse than the Jeff Finger signing in Toronto. And it does have some funny moments. The LA Kings and the Toronto Maple Leafs do play for the Stanley Cup Finals, which is really funny. Rob Blake, newish San Jose Shark, is in the movie. He does take a face off.
Which is also funny.
And the other part that was really funny was watching Mike pay $9 for a large Coke.
Which I always do. I'm always sucking into that. Yeah, I should have walked out like that grandmother and her grandson about halfway through, which was pretty funny, leaving about 4 people in the theater.
Might have been the 5th time Mike Myers got punched in the balls. It was too much for grandma.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, let's quickly get to the latest Sharks news because it's a huge week in Sharks history. The Sharks traded for Dan Boyle.
What?
Yeah, I know. Haven't you been paying attention?
We got who?
Dan Boyle. No, Brian Boyle. Oh, wait, no, that's the Kings. Oh, they have the lesser Boyle and the lesser Thornton. Oops. No, we got Dan Boyle. And Dan Boyle we got for Ty Wishart.
Who cares?
Matt Carl.
See you later.
First round draft pick.
Doesn't matter.
Okay, and a 4th round draft pick. And
I'm pissed about.
Yeah, the 4th round. That hurts. And we also got Brad Lukowich, who is Boyle's defensive partner on the Lightning and played with him on their Stanley Cup winning effort a few years back. So that's a big deal. And it's a deal that we've been waiting for. We were really hoping for. Boyle is one of my favorite players. And to me, I think he's an upgrade over Brian Campbell. We get him for less money per year and a long-term deal, 6 years.
Dude, in a word, freaking awesome.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome.
This deal is awesome, and anyone who thinks it's not can come on over here and get cross-checked in the face, because there's nothing wrong with this deal for the Sharks. The Sharks should be playing to win now, and they didn't even give up anything that, to me, is central to the future of this team. Matt Carl, could he be good? Yes. Right now, is he good? Not really. He couldn't even get in the lineup for most of the games down the stretch last year.
And certainly, in the playoffs. He was scratching the playoffs for Alexei Semenov, for God's sakes.
He had 1 point in the playoffs. One. For someone who's now going to be quarterbacking Tampa Bay's power play with Andrew Hutchinson. Now, that's going to put fear into the goalies in the East. But and Ty Wishart could be a poor man's Zdeno Chara. Or he could be Mike Rathje, skinny Mike Rathje. I mean, he could even be, you know, Hal Gill's ugly twin. We don't know.
Right.
I mean, Wishart is undeveloped. People think he's going to be a number one defenseman. He got a C grade on Hockey Prospects. I don't think that he's going to be an impact player in the NHL. And obviously Doug Wilson didn't think so either. When they said prospect in the trade, we both held our breath and were worried it was going to be Nick Petrecki, who we think is going to be sort of the crown jewel of our blue line in the future, and probably why Rob Blake is on a 1-year deal, in my opinion, because Petrecki could be here as early as the 2009-2010 season. Not Petrecki, it's Wishart. And if for Tampa Bay, losing Dan Boyle on a team that they've just remade with a bunch of veterans and replacing him with Carl, Wishart, and a pick that's probably going to be number 27 or number 28, have a good time.
Yeah, have fun with that. And it's funny that even a deal that we think is so good is still not seen as very good by some, even Sharks writers. Ryan Gardner of Hockey Buzz said that Wishart could become, he compared Wishart's stats in the WHL, the Western Hockey League, with that of Dion Phaneuf. And That made me laugh, frankly, out loud, because if you look at the stats of the year of Dion Phaneuf scoring 52 points, 1 point behind was Josh Georges. So I don't remember him saying that Josh Georges should remain a Shark. So WHL stats don't mean squat.
But Josh Georges can really take a hit, Mike.
He can take a hit, and that's the number one thing that everybody says about Josh Georges. So I appreciate that, Josh.
Brad Lukowich had 60-something points 1 year in juniors. That defensive force of Jamie Rivers, I dare you to tell me what team he's playing for now. You can't, but you might not even be in the NHL. He had 100-something points once in juniors. Junior stats don't mean anything. Give me a break.
Yeah, it's. I think it's a great deal for the Sharks. They got a premier defenseman. Defensemen are highly coveted in the style that's being played right now in the NHL. And we got a top flight, top five guy, number one on almost any team in the NHL. It's a great deal. So a guy who used to be a top five defenseman in this league is Rob Blake. Sharks signed Rob Blake to a one-year deal, $5 million. I got some sticker shock when I saw that deal.
Not when Hainsey's getting 4.5, not when Street is getting 4.1. Rob Blake absolutely gets $5 million. And on a one-year deal, I think it was a great move by Doug Wilson. And he was on a bad team last year, a really bad team. He's the captain of a sinking ship. It's like the Titanic of hockey down there. You know, he has to go into the locker room and look at Dean Lombardi, like, sitting in the corner, like, praying, like, nude with, like, a Stamkos towel, like rubbing himself in, like, magic oil, like, hoping he's going to get the number one pick. Like, he was on a bad team. And I think, you know, you look back, you know, 2 years in the past, in his last year in Colorado, he had a good year. I think if Wilson didn't believe that he's going to be able to produce, he never would have made the move. He's wanted Blake for years. And now he's got him.
And he doesn't have to be the man either. Now that we got Boyle,
he doesn't have to be the man.
And Boyle also had bad stats last year, also on the worst team in hockey. So, and he didn't play that long, but he was in front of maybe the worst goaltending situation in hockey, maybe second to the Kings, maybe first in front of the Kings, but both those guys were playing in front of a goaltender that no one knew what he was going to give up and what he was going to save night to night, and that really affects your stats.
You look at what happened to JR last year on the Sharks, the same thing can happen for Rob Blake. I really believe that. I think he's going to have a good year. He's not going to be asked to play 20 minutes. He'll be playing 16, 18 minutes. Vlasic will play big minutes. Boyle will play big minutes. Blake can be in the second pair, and he's not going to have to be the man. I think it's a great signing.
I think so, too. And unfortunately, the Sharks did have to make what looked to be and was, by all reports, a salary-based move. And that's they had to trade Craig Rive. They had to trade him and a seventh-round pick to Buffalo for 2 second-round picks. And that's a move that a lot of Sharks fans took as a bit of a gut check. It was a bummer. It shows the harsh realities of the modern NHL. We had to trade, by most accounts, a fan favorite, a guy that stood up for himself, stood up for other Sharks all year last year, racked up a ton of penalty minutes, had some really good fights, and now he's gone.
When he beat the hell out of Steve Ott after he cheap shot Joe, we loved that. We're going to miss Craig Rive a lot. Salary cap dump, I think that's all this is. And he has more value than, you know, if you're offering up, hey, hi, Darcy Regier, do you want Kyle McLaren? Can I get a second round pick?
I'll give you an eighth round pick.
Craig Rive?
I'll give you 2 second round picks.
And I'll give you a seventh. Yeah. I think that's probably how it went. And Rive still got value. It's a bummer. But the other thing you have to consider here is Rob Blake's strong personality. Dan Boyle, I don't know. Too many cooks in the kitchen could be very possible. You've got a strong personality in Rive. I hate to see him go. But I think we have to put trust in Doug Wilson, as we always have, and believe that this is the right move. This was the best deal he had out there in order to cut salary. The Sharks are a better team on the blue line with Blake and Boyle than with Rive and Carl. End of story.
True. I mean, nobody can dispute that. The question is, are the Sharks too thin on the draft board? That's obviously the big downside here. There's some toughness issues. We can talk about that. I think with Blake and some veterans in JR and hopefully some scrappy minor leaguers, the Sharks should be just fine. But I'm hoping with a crazy, crazy good power play, the Sharks should be in decent shape.
If you look at the model the Sharks are following, Detroit, I mean, right. The article in Hockey News where Ken Holland talks about rolling out four lines of the most skilled players you can find. And I think that that's what Doug Wilson's doing. I mean, yeah, he has Jody Shelley around, but he's going to be putting out the best players that he can That's the model he's following, clearly, and he's got McClellan here to implement it.
And he, you know, and the Wings got McCarty late in the year, but he wasn't a big piece of their Stanley Cup winning effort. I mean, their Stanley Cup winning effort was based on having Rafalski, Lidstrom at the blue line, having Zetterberg and Datsyuk scoring, having Franzen putting up an amazing first two rounds. I mean, they won not because they were tough. They won because they just skated around everybody else.
There's still some questions with this roster and with the Sharks right now being at $51.5 million today as we sit on the cap without the, you know, awaited McLaren trade, which I think is coming. You know, what's going to happen with the three restricted free agents, Mike? You think Gotch, Ehrhoff, Klo, what's going on?
Well, Gotch chose arbitration. So for people that aren't cap nerds like me, that means if you're a restricted free agent, some restricted free agents can choose to go to arbitration, which means you sit before kind of a judge and say, I deserve this much. The team says, no, you deserve that much. And the arbiter makes a decision. And then the team has the choice to either give the player the arbitration result or to release him as a unrestricted free agent. To me, this sounds like Gotch is trying to get to unrestricted free agency. He didn't play a lot. I think he thinks he can do well someplace else. I don't think other teams would be willing to give up caps if they were to sign him to give up picks if they were to sign him to an offer sheet. That's what I think. Usually arbitration doesn't go well. The player gets his feelings hurt because the team says he's a horrible player. I think Gotch is gone. I don't think he'll be back on this team. Ehrhoff could have chose arbitration and didn't. That to me signifies that they're bargaining with him in good faith. I think Ehrhoff will be back on the team. Ryan Klo is
you trade Carl and you trade Brevet. You can't trade all your youth. You can't let Ehrhoff walk. I think Ehrhoff has been in the plans from the beginning. The rumored deal that we're reading on the web of 3 years at, you know, $3.1 million, that's too much to me.
And no one knows where that came from. It's not on Sharks. It's not on the Sharks website. It's not on TSN. So until it appears on one of those sites or ESPN or something like that, I think that's a rumor, nothing more. I don't understand that deal. It's a little bit too much, but it would be sort of in line with the Hainsey deal and the Straight deal and other things. But I think Ehrhoff will be back. It's just a question of for how much and for how long. Ryan Klo is the big wild card of this group. There hasn't been much talk from the Sharks about what Ryan Klo might get and how long he may stay. He had a really serious injury last year, and obviously the off-ice issue with the DUI. I hope DW will be able to get under market with this guy.
I think he will. I think Klo owes it to the Sharks. He had a DUI last year, serious injury. He was great in the first round. He's only played like 80 professional NHL games.
Right, not even a whole
season. We're looking
at
a guy who's played 200 games. I think, you know, Klo, to me, he'd be smart if he took a 2-year deal, maybe 2 years, $3 million, $1.5 million each year. If he can have a monster year, all it takes is 1 year. He could go in restricted and bolt and get maybe sort of Ryan Malone money out there from somebody else, or, you know, maybe the Sharks will try and lock him up after that. I think Klo is staying. That's not going to be an issue. And he should, you know, certainly look in the mirror and put down the Coors Light and sign a reasonable deal, you know. And Doug Wilson seems to be able to work his magic and get players to do that.
Yeah, the last sort of question mark is Kyle McLaren. We talked about that last week. We talked about the possibility of doing a buyout. So the definitive word on that is there is a buyout period. It happened in June. McLaren cannot be bought out. So that period is passed. They could waive him. That's one thing they could do. Usually that really pisses the player off to no end, and that's really a bad deal. That's one of the main reasons why Boyle chose to waive his no trade and come to the Sharks, is because he was threatened to be waived, which means any team could pick him up, and it will probably be the Thrashers.
He even went on record saying that he knew that it could be Atlanta.
How bad do you have to feel right now if you're a Thrashers fan? I mean, basically, he just said, you know, that's the armpit of the league. No one wants to go to Atlanta. And clearly, that's why Hainsey went there, is because they overpaid. They overpaid to get Hainsey. But
I know what could cheer up Atlanta. Kyle McLaren.
I hope so. If they want to give too much for him, I'd trade him.
There's been a lot of Kyle McLaren bashing out there, too, on a lot of boards and a lot of blogs. And I think that's unfair. You know, Kyle's been a great player for us for, I mean, how long has he been here? 4 years? And 4 years, 5 years, I mean, somewhere in there. He doesn't deserve to be trash talked, I don't think. You know, he's been injured. He's not the same player he was 2 seasons ago, but, you know, he's been a good guy. He's never done anything wrong. He's a serviceable defenseman. I hope that they're able to find him a new home, but As of right now, he's still on the roster.
Right, at $2.5 million. I'll never forget Kyle MacLaren's first shift. He got traded from the Bruins. Everybody cheered, stepped out on the ice, got into a fight. For that, from that second on, I respected and appreciated Kyle MacLaren.
We will miss the visor. But with the Sharks at 51.5, if you trade MacLaren and then you sign Ehrhoff and Klo, and you've got a couple guys from the minors coming up, you're still at around $55 million. Do you think that that means, Mike, that the Sharks are going to have to get rid of another player? Are they going to spend that much money?
I think, and I'm just talking out of my ass here, is in that Doug Wilson got the go-ahead from the management team to spend this year. I think that's what the Blake deal means. I don't think we would have gotten Rob Blake if there wasn't some sort of tacit agreement that the Sharks could spend more than perhaps they had let on at the state of the Sharks. I think that, you know, an aging defenseman for $5 million is a lot of money, and that means the Sharks are making a run right now. That $5 million comes off the books next year. That means we won't see the Sharks spend to the cap next year. The $5 million will come off the books. Wilson will stay around the same spot, and the Sharks are trying to make a run right now.
I hope you're right. I want to make that clear. But, I want you to be right.
But
I'm going to take the realistic side here. The Sharks have never spent this much money. They're always at least $10 million under the cap. So if you keep Ehrhoff, you keep Klo, you trade MacLaren, doesn't someone else have to go here? Greer's got a no trade. Maybe he doesn't want to leave. Maybe he would leave. Chichu, Mahalik, they would probably fetch the price that Wilson had to give up to get Dan Boyle. Could you trade Mahalik for a first-round draft pick and a top-flight minor league defensive prospect to replenish what you had to give up? That's a classic Doug Wilson move. He values the young assets, but he also... Oh, I just said young assets. But he also values, obviously, the veteran presence. Trading Chichu, does that leave a giant hole in the lineup?
Yeah, it does. I mean, we don't have another top-line winger, obviously, but Mahalik has never scored
30. Setoguchi.
He's never scored 30. Seto's played 1 year. So I hope that's not the case. I think that'd be a mistake. We'll just have to see how it pans out. I mean, there's a lot of free agency left. There's a lot of time before the start of the season, and I'm sure there's going to be yet even more movement than we've already seen.
It could go both ways, Mike.
Yep. So there's some questions that came in. Thanks for your emails. You can email questions at dudesonhockey.com. First email we're going to read is from John Swenson, who's actually posts on Sharks page. For Sharks fans that don't read Sharks page, you guys are missing out. You guys got to read that. So we certainly do, but thanks for the email, John. And he says, my first question is, who's going to be the first guest on Dudes on Hockey?
Drew Remenda.
Yeah, it's going to be Drew. I'm sure we'll get him any second.
Doug Wilson.
If only he returns my phone calls.
Igor Larionov.
He doesn't return my calls either.
Hello, this is Sergey Makarov.
How's the winery?
I'm too drunk to think.
Anyway, John, we'd love to have you on. Unfortunately, there's technical problems with doing a Skype or a VoIP thing or a phone call. So we'd have to come up with that. But that's a good idea for the future. So we're going to look into that. But then John says, real first question. Sharks have shored up their blue line, addressed some toughness, and the power play 5-on-5 offensive questions from the back end. Do the Sharks need to maintain the status quo up front? I think Grand Mink is gone. Thomas Pleahall, Eagledon, Cashbar, Kavanaugh could fill the holes in the third or fourth line. Is there a player outside the organization you target, or do you promote a guy from in-house? Did the forward lines have to toughen up after the last playoff effort as well? Well, I think let's do the last question first. If the Sharks go with the Detroit model, then the answer to that is no, we don't need to toughen up. We just roll four lines that are decent enough to play, can generate scoring chances up and down the lineup. So I think the answer to that is no. As for the players you mentioned, Mike Eagledon actually already signed with the New York Islanders, so he's out of the Sharks organization. Thomas Pleahall is unrestricted. I think the chance of him re-signing with the Sharks is unlikely. Tom Cavanaugh's in the same boat. He's 26 years old. He's not an NHL player. Played the Sharks one game last year. To me, that doesn't make sense. To me, the guy that probably makes the most sense right now is Lucas Cashbar. He's a big kid. He can't be pushed off the puck too easily. He's got problems with consistency. Where have we heard that before? But
Bernier.
Yeah, exactly. We'll talk about Bernier later. But Cashbar, he's strong. He's a big, strong guy. And the other question is, can he assume fourth line duty? Is he willing to play on the fourth line? Or does he just want to be the man and score?
Well, he hasn't proven that he can be the man and score. I mean, But
not even in the AHL.
No, I don't think he's the answer. I think there's other players in the system. I kind of have my eye on TJ Fox, who was profiled by Hockey News in February. He sort of seems to be projected as a third line guy, reminiscent of Torrey Mitchell, maybe with a little more size. He's a college player. Seems like he's a, you know, 30-40 point guy on the minor league level. Supposed to be a good strong skater. Wouldn't be surprised if he cracked the lineup. I think you got to keep your eye on Fraser McLaren too. But with Jody Shelley around, maybe you don't need Fraser McLaren, who's sort of the Sharks' minor league enforcer in training. But I've watched clips of him, and he seems to have a little more hockey sense than your normal enforcer.
Right, but will that hockey sense translate to the NHL? I mean, you need to be quite a good AHL player to even compete that way on the rink, and I don't think Fraser McLaren, that is the right guy, especially with... I think we might see McLaren on the lineup in a couple of years. Not with Jody Shelley here. To me, they're the same guy. They're big guys. They aren't very good skaters. They can fight. You don't need two of those guys. So here's my long shot. Doug talked about TJ Fox. Steven Zalewski, he's another college player, graduated Clarkson this year. 33 points in 38 games. HockeyFutures.com talks about this guy as being strong on the puck, as being a consistent player, as being a good two-way player. To me, that's a guy that I could see cracking the lineup this year. College players seem to get a nice second look, and he's fulfilled his 4 years, which means it's likely he'll be in camp. I'm interested in taking a look at this guy.
If I had my druthers, I would want the Sharks to bring in a player like Chris Gratton. I know he's still available. I kind of advocated for him at the deadline last year. Chris Gratton is a pain in the ass. He's a center. He's tough. He is not that old. I know he's a little injury prone, but if you can throw him out there as a tough center to play against, I mean, the Sharks are going to have their hands full for sure with Dallas, especially with Sean Avery going, which we'll get to later. But they do need to balance it out. Can they do it within? Sure.
I think within is the answer, John. Thanks for the question. Definitely, I think you want young guys, you want fast guys, Torrey Mitchell, that kind of thing. I don't even know about Gratton. I think if you're going with the Wings mold, you want guys that are quick, guys that are skilled. I don't think Gratton is either of those. He's a tough guy. He's a decent player. He's been in the NHL a while, which means he's wily. I don't think he's the right fit for the kind of team that we're trying to build at this point. So thanks for the question, and it's a good question. I look forward to the opening of camp and seeing who looks good and who doesn't, because we have another Torrey Mitchell this year. Let's see. Okay.
TJ Fox.
There's the call. TJ Fox. We got another great email from Ian, who is a Sharks fan in Canada. So that's awesome. Ooh, yeah, baby. He says he's in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. He's in the middle of Leafs Nation, and he's a Sharks fan since the beginning. And so my hat is off to you, Ian. You're in enemy territory.
Unlimited Molson for Ian.
That's right. You come down here, I'll buy you a Molson. But anyway, so Ian writes us a very nice email, very complimentary of the podcast, and we really appreciate that. He does disagree with us, however, on our opinion on the pickup of Hewitt. He says, I think the Bulin Wall has been overpaid for what he's done there, and once his contract is up, he's done in Chicago. Hewitt is a good young goalie who would not have been available next year and can only take the Bulin's number one job and be another piece of the foundation of what will be a scary team going forward. And Washington really screwed it up by signing Jose Theodor. And that's a real setback for a team in a division where winning the division seems to be the difference between making the playoffs or not. And he looks to see Habib Bulin dangle this trade bait. Well, I agree with a lot of things you said there. I think, you know, Habib Bulin will be traded for sure because they signed Hewitt to this long deal for a ton of money. He's a relatively untested young goalie, and he was run out of Montreal. So to me, that's a minus. Habib Bulin has won the cup. Habib Bulin is in a contract year, which is another, unfortunately, big reason why he might have a very good year. And the biggest problem is that they didn't have a plan for Habib Bulin when they got Hewitt, and I think that's a huge mistake. If they have to start the year with $12 million in goalies or $13 million or whatever it is, then that's just stupid. You don't pay a backup goaltender $5.5 million, so it doesn't reflect very well on the Chicago organization if that's what they're doing. If they didn't have a plan for Habib Bulin, or they thought there was suddenly going to be a market for him without really knowing for sure, then to me that just makes them look dumb, and I don't like that deal at all.
I don't know what this signing is all about, Mike.
Yeah, I don't know
what it's about.
I don't know what it's about either.
It makes no sense. We talked about it last week too, and obviously Javi Bulin will probably be somewhere else. And if you keep both those guys with all the hard work they've done to build that team, I can't see how they're going to be happy. Even if you've told, you know, Hewitt that he's going to be starting the year after next, is he really going to like backing up Javi Bulin? And Javi Bulin is going to be a handful if they're going to put him on the bench in this whole tandem business. I don't think that's going to play out, and Javi Bulin will probably find a new home sometime, you know, during camp.
Right. The Sharks ran a tandem with Toskola and Nabby. Nabby sort of had the starting job. Toskola came in and they tandemed it, but that's a different situation than what's in Chicago. Javi Bulin's been the man. He's been the man for a lot of years. He was the man on a Stanley Cup winning team. And to ask him to take a backup role now to a guy that is relatively unproven, like I said, was run out of Montreal, you know, played very well for the Caps down the stretch and in the first round. But to ask him to take a backup role, I think that could tear that room apart. I think that could be a huge problem. And they might have to waive him to get him out of town.
Teams that might be interested: Ottawa, Edmonton,
The Kings.
The Kings, but what for the Kings? I mean, why you want to bring in a high profile goalie and like surround him with a pile of trash, which is basically what they have down there.
I think the Kings need to save some face. I mean, they could turn into the Western version of the Thrashers. I think that teams lose respect, or players lose respect for teams that don't try to win. Right now, it looks like the Kings are trying to dump the entire season and get Tavares. And if you're going to be a free agent, why would you go to a team that could do that any given year? Oh, we're just going to trade our number one defenseman for a third liner and a guy that's not very good. You know, we're not even going to try to field a decent goalie. I think they're hurting their organization by trying to rebuild in this way. And maybe getting Tavares is going to turn everything around, but it's a risky play, and they may not even get Tavares, even if they are the worst team in the NHL.
Would you rather watch a Thrashers Kings triple overtime game or get a root canal?
Oh man, that's tough. I don't know if I can answer that question.
In a pink Kings jersey.
Pink Kings jersey? Okay, I'll take the game then. I hate wearing pink Kings jerseys. But thanks for your questions, guys. Keep them coming. Let's do a little bit of a shootout. We're both PTI fans, pardon the interruption, and they do a thing at the end of the show where they talk about some stories of the day and just a quick rundown of and reactions to those stories. So let's get started. First one, Steve Bernier, signed by Vancouver, then St. Louis gets in Vancouver's face and assigns him to an offer sheet, which Vancouver quickly matches. Bernier?
What a valued asset, let me tell you. Obviously, almost on his fourth team in a year. Bernier is going to be one of those wandering players that may never live up to his potential. And 1 year, $2.5 million is desperation for Vancouver. How about Olin Nolan signing in Minnesota?
I sort of wish we could have gotten Olin Nolan if we could got a reasonable price. The Wild, in my opinion, paid more than reasonable money. And I would have turned that deal down if I were the Sharks. If they had to pay him, what was it, $2.5 million, a little bit more?
2.75.
Yeah, good luck playing in that system, Owen. You're gonna.
I hope you like back checking.
Yeah, hope you love back checking, skating right back towards your own net. Hope you love that. So good luck to you. Third is the big signing of the offseason. Marian Hossa signs a 1 year deal with the dreaded Red Wings, $7.4 million. Some people say they should just stop the season, give the Wings a cup again.
Son of a bitch. That really made me so mad.
I know.
And it looks like he might be, they have a little under the table deal for him to stay there long term. However
mad we are, we can't be nearly as mad as Penguins fans. I mean, that is just, I mean, that is horrible. I can't believe it.
What a slap in the face. And then, what do you think about replacing Hossa with that dangerous trio, Mike, of Matt Cook, Fedotenko, and Miroslav Shatan?
Yeah, they got three guys for the price of one. Unfortunately, none of those guys are even as third a good as Hossa was. So they paid the same money and got a bunch of seat fillers, as far as I'm concerned. And Shatan is on the downhill slide. Cook is okay. I guess he's replacing Ruutu. Fedotenko, who cares?
It's like replacing Jessica Alba with that rancid crack-ass Amy Winehouse and then the fat chick from the Drew Carey show.
Right. Yeah, does
that trio is like the Jonas Brothers without the talent. Oh, wait a second.
Wait a minute. My whole world just turned upside down.
But I'm watching Camp Rock.
Okay, last thing. Sean Avery signs with Dallas. He got his $4 million or close to it. So we get to face that guy six times a year. But the real question is, Are there really any fashion magazines in Dallas that he can work for?
There are, but they're for plus size women. It's called Steer Weekly.
All right, that does it for this week. Thanks for listening to Dudes on Hockey, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
Mariska Hargitay.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.